Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe, Aki, Bree, Jacob. How are you three doing?
I need sleep, but otherwise I'm good.
Yeah. I've been better, but I'm doing okay today.
One of those weeks for all of us, hasn't it been?
Yeah.
So let's talk news.
Oh, God, there's news. I forgot that that was a segment. Fuck.
How could you forget? We have news of the week on these episodes.
Because it's not Thursday. I blame all of you for this.
Is Pernell here?
My mind's... No.
Then we're doing news. Right, Pernell?
Fucking yeah!
Pernell's here. We're not doing news. There we go. Thank you for getting me out of this.
PS Plus game catalog for the month was announced. On the 10th, two games popped up with EA Sports PGA Tour and Blueprints, which also came to Game Pass.
Nice. Yay. I need to play that.
I think that's really cool that the game launched on both services.
Yeah.
I don't know how they pulled that off, because it's usually one or the other. But on the 15th, PS Plus players are going to be able to play Hogwarts Legacy, Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, Tape 2, Battlefield 1, and Plate Up.
Damn, nice. That's a good list.
That's a good month.
Yeah, PS Plus Premium.
PS Plus Premium gets Alone in the Dark 2 from the PS1 and War of the Monsters from PS2, which is pretty awesome.
I've never even heard of that game.
I forget who made it. I want to say it was the Sly Cooper team, maybe. Monsters. I'm probably thinking wrong.
From what I understand, the Sly Cooper games were great, so that has to be a decent game.
Incog.
I remember Sly Cooper being good.
Incognito, Twisted Metal Team.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm significantly less interested. I never got into those games at all.
Yeah, they did Twisted Metal Black, Small Brawl, and then War of the Monsters, Downhill Domination.
Yeah, the only one I recognize is Twisted Metal.
Mm. Well, War of the Monsters is like kaiju fighting.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, in a city.
All right, awesome. Okay. That sounds like right up my alley. Sweet.
Yeah, it's a pretty dope game. If you still have your PS2 hooked up, look for it. I don't think it's that expensive.
Sadly, my PS2 doesn't work anymore.
Well.
I have Schrodinger's PS2. It works or it doesn't work. We won't know until we plug it in.
Nah.
Yeah, I played the hell out of mine. So I know mine don't work.
Nintendo Switch Online got three new games for the Genesis with Streets of Rage, Super Thunderblade, and eSWAT City Under Siege.
Nice.
Yep. Fragpunk is coming to Xbox and PlayStation, Series X and S, PS5, April 29th now.
All right.
Yeah. I guess.
A little bit of sad news. Ubisoft Leamington has been closed after 23 years. They formed as Freestyle Games in 2002, were most known for DJ Hero series and that bullshit garbage game Guitar Hero Live before Ubisoft acquired them as a support studio.
Okay. I'm just, this may be irrelevant, but we only mentioned the games on the 10th that came to Game Pass. Were there no other games?
We didn't announce really anything for Game Pass. It was PS Plus. It's just Blueprints was also on Game Pass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no Game Pass update this week. That's next week. First and third.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Fair. Never mind. Just because you brought up that it was on Xbox, I just assumed we were going to have Xbox Game Pass news. And I was like, I hope that isn't it, because that kind of sucks.
Well, Aki, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me.
Hey, sometimes I feel like I need to be made an ass of, just so I can fit in here, okay? Just because you're always fair. An ass.
That is fair. Wait.
I'm going to need you to fuck off, sir.
Yeah, Jacob, no. Fuck off.
Yay!
Some Nintendo news. Switch 2 carts still taste bad.
Good.
Damn it.
Was that your news, Jacob?
I was really hoping that they'd still taste good.
They taste like strawberry.
That's what I was going to say. Damn it.
The Switch 2 Joy-Con will not have Hall Effect analog sticks.
Hmm.
Everybody wants Hall Effect. I guess those are the magnetic analog sticks, and they don't wear, so you won't get drift, but...
And they're cheap. I don't know why they don't just fucking upgrade to it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get it.
I guess they gotta run through their parts, but whatever. The Switch 2 Welcome Tour game has been announced as having a $10 price tag, which at that point... What's...
Like,
why? Make it a free pack-in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be free.
Just freaking temp. Just fucking include it.
It's Nintendo, it's a multi
bitches.
It's a multi-billion-dollar-a-year profit company. They don't give things away for free if they don't have to.
And that's proof in this other news.
Oh, God.
The $70 Switch 2 version of Breath of the Wild will not include the DLC.
The fuck?
You gotta pay $20 separate for that.
Jeez.
This is a Wii U game.
Yeah.
And it's a game that probably made them a fuck ton of money already.
Yeah.
Probably multiple times for that matter.
Yeah, because they never dropped the price on it. They're raising the price on it.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's... And they can't even include the goddamn deals. Wow. That's gross.
Yeah, it is Nintendo.
Yeah.
And a AAA company.
Yep. What you gonna do? At least they're doing some of the upgrades in the online service thing. I don't know.
Something.
Needs
don't
more
worry,
storage.
They'll charge for that. Well, yeah. I'm sure you can buy more storage. Probably.
Have we not gone over the storage with the Switch 2?
We did. We did last. I think we did it literally on Tuesday's episode.
Oh, we did.
Because Pernell and them had a big old conversation. I don't know if we did a Thursday episode.
I'm pretty sure we did it on
both.
Last
time too. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, oof. It's not enough, and it's expensive as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad when the expansion cards look good.
Hmm.
Because an expansion card is cheaper than an SD Express.
Yeah.
I'm just sad. We moved away from fucking memory cards forever ago, and now we've gone full circle back to memory cards. And I miss the times where we didn't have to have them.
Well, the Switch has to have one because it's a portable. You can't have a hard drive dangling around the whole time. Plugged in by USB. And I understand why Xbox went the way they did for user simplicity. I wish they were cheaper, but I understand why they did what they did. Still need to make bigger ones.
Yep.
I said the same thing at the Dildo Factory.
Did they? Did you custom order a bigger
one? The King Kong sized one wasn't big enough for him. They can only do so much.
Ordered a traffic cone.
I mean, then, like, the next week, they started this new company called Bad Dragon. You know, so I think they listened to me, yeah.
Aki, what news do you have?
I have nothing, I don't think. And if I did, I've long since forgotten it at this point.
That's fair. Bree, anything?
Yeah, the popular game on Steam called Schedule 1 is being investigated by the makers of Drug Dealer Simulator for copying some of their game.
Interesting.
Movie Games SA claims that there are several elements that were too similar to not look into copyright infringement. I mean, with any game, there's parts that could be seen as an homage to something, but this seemed blatant enough to investigate. No word yet if they're going to be taking any further action.
Huh. A lot of people don't think that they are. They think it was, you know, first off, just to get it noticed. But also, the publisher, they were just like, we don't think that there's anything, but we just have to do our due diligence.
Right. And it's I think the one company is Australian, so there's like laws across countries that are different and all sorts of things that they have to consider in that as well. So, yeah.
Kinky bananas.
And if you want to hear more about Drug Dealer Simulator, stick around next week on this show.
Yeah, there you go. that was all the news I had.
All right, Jacob, what have you got?
I got nothing.
You don't. Awesome. You messaged me something.
I mean, that is true.
Dreamlight Valley.
Yeah, there is some news. I mean, I wasn't going to report on it till there was like a firm date, but they've hinted at Alice in Wonderland content coming.
Nice.
A lot of people think it's going to be Star Path focused for the next one, because the current one ends in like 4 or 5 days. I think it ends Wednesday. Usually they give you like a week of breathing space and then, you know, next Star Path will start up. So it should be soon. But yeah, like, I'm excited. I'm almost done with the current Star Path. I just have to finish. I got everything I want out of it. So at this point, all the other shit that I'm earning with it is just bonus. But yeah.
Okie dokie.
Good talk.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I had one other thing. Hades 2 is going to be a Nintendo console exclusive at launch.
Yes.
So. Huh.
Okay.
Interesting. I actually thought that was already released.
On PC. I think it's early access.
Oh. Huh. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
All right. Any other news? Any other conversation? Or are we speedrunning this bitch right to reviews?
Let's speedrun this slut.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Jacob, thoughts?
No, I got
thoughts, no opinions, thoughts, head like, empty. Comment, come subscribe.
I mean, I guess you should subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already, or if you have money.
Or if you have money.
I mean, it's a valid point. If you don't have money to subscribe on Twitch, then, you know.
Don't
give us money, folks. That's don't hate yourself that much, please.
The only time you should ever send money our way is for our shirts, because some of them are really good.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I mean,
still need to get one.
To be fair, if you give enough money, Joe will strip on camera. So
please don't bring that into this.
I'll shave on camera.
Ooh, man. You need to make that worth something with pancakes. I've got 26,000, so I think that's worth a good few runs with the razor. Do I get to choose the spot?
No. Maybe I'll do a donation goal.
Fine, I'll do a left tit.
would that be an interesting donation goal?
Yes, like, I want to shave see you without a beard
on the show.
Yeah,
just buzz it all off.
Yeah, I've never seen you without a beard. Yes, let's do that. I want to see this.
Ashley is all for this.
I don't think Ashley's listening.
And you know,
nope, no comment.
Hold ya.
Okay, she's up for it. So she'll be the one to shave me.
Oh, sexy.
Thimber was saying there was a little bit more news. Toys for Bob went on record saying that they would like to make the new Banjo-Kazooie if Microsoft would let them.
What games have they made? I don't recognize. I recognize that name, but I don't know why.
Bought themselves independent.
Nice.
Oh, wait, not Spyro, Crash Bandicoot. Or wait, did they do Spyro?
I think they did both. Toys for Bob. Yeah, they worked with both Crash and Spyro. Crash 4, Spyro Trilogy, Skylanders.
Okay, yeah.
Zimber's also talking about how the Marathon gameplay trailer got released. I'm in a group for Marathon, not running, obviously. I'm too fat for that. But like the original trilogy games, and everyone is universally pissed in that thing. Everyone thinks it looks like shit, should not have the Marathon name attached to it. I'm going to be honest, I thought it looked kind of cool, but I'm also shit at multiplayer extraction shooters, so I know my opinion does not matter much on that.
I'm kind of interested. Is that, I think I know the one you're talking about. I don't remember the name of it, but I remember a trailer that showed an extraction shooter that looked interesting. So I'm just going to assume it's the same one.
Like, did people like fall apart into like little like blocks or whatever?
I don't remember that. I just remember somebody like foaming themselves or some shit.
Somebody getting shot. Okay, that was very helpful.
Pew pew.
Hey, as I said, I don't remember everything. I'm gonna go look it up. You're making me not be lazy, and this is upsetting. I want to be lazy. Sorry. Damn it.
Oh, dear.
Jacob, what are your thoughts on Marathon? Does it are you digging it?
I dig the look of it, but I'm not good at those types of games, and I honestly fear as I'm getting older that like I'm not as good at first-person shooters as I used to be. So it's just like it's not going to be like a day one purchase for me, but I like the look. I wish they'd remake the original Marathon thing, but I also realize like only a handful of people air, and like the original games are going to be considered too short nowadays to make it worthwhile. I don't know. I really like the visuals of it, of the new one.
What do you think of their talk about pricing, that it's not going to be a full price game, but it will be a
$40 game,
paid game, yeah, with battle pass and blah blah. Did they confirm 40?
Yeah, they had said 40. I think that was what they were actually. Now I have to look that up. I'm pretty sure that they had said 40 Marathon.
Last I saw, I thought it was just, it will be paid, but they would discuss like pricing in the future. They're saying they did not confirm the price.
A lot of people on the PlayStation Reddit board seem to think it's going to be 40. They think they're going to go with the same pricing as Helldivers.
Might make sense. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see when they confirm it. Deja is tired of first-person shooters. I think a lot of
us. I am a little too. Yeah.
We need first-person Sokoban.
God. Don't you give April any ideas.
I love first-person shooters.
I wouldn't mind seeing that, though. I'd like to see how it works.
That would be interesting. All right, should we get to reviews?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, let's kick this off with South of Midnight, code provided to us by Xbox for the purpose of this coverage. Developed by Compulsion Games, published by Xbox, released April 8th on Series X and S and PC for $39.99. Also available as part of Xbox Game Pass PC and Ultimate. South of Midnight is a new action adventure from Compulsion Games. Explore the mythos and confront mysterious creatures of the Deep South in this modern folktale while learning to weave an ancient power to surmount obstacles and unravel your family's hidden past. Aki, you and Bree both played this. How about you start off? What is South of Midnight?
Well, it is an action platformer with a focus on platforming. A narrative game where you play as a young woman who is trying to find her mom, basically. Y'all live down in the south, and a hurricane's come by, and y'all's house was flooded right the fuck out the way, and your mom was still inside, so you're chasing after it, trying to find her, and you step into a world of magical silliness that somewhat depressing. And yeah, so I mean, it is what it is. It is a very it's a downer, the game, sadly. Not a lot of uppers to this one. Yeah, most of the game focuses on platforming around. There are little sections of this weird cancerous growth that you occasionally find. And when you walk into it, you have it becomes a little mini arena where you have to fight waves of enemies, basically. And that's where most of the combat is. In combat, you have access to a bunch of abilities. As you play through the game, you unlock more, and you can actually upgrade them, which is nice. And they're all different weaving utensils, basically, that you fight with, and it's kind of interesting. You start off with, I don't know the name of any of these tools, to be honest. I don't do weaving, but you start off with two little hook things, and you beat the shit out of enemies with those. Those are your, like, main melee combat weapons. And then you unlock this top-looking piece, and you can...
Yeah,
spool. And with that, you can grab enemies and yank them close to you. You can also use that for traversing... while platforming, it can allow you to hook onto things and swing on stuff like a whip. Very cool. I love how they implemented all of this stuff. It was very interesting. Well done. You end up with, I think, three different items, I believe. And you unlock four different item upgrade packs. Upgrade suites, as well as a general upgrade list. So there's five trees. They all go just a straight line, basically, though. So you're not upgrading a whole bunch of different ways. By the end of the game, as long as you've been collecting everything, you have more than enough points to upgrade literally all of the trees. Because I think when I ended, I still had like 200 and something points that I could put into upgrades, but there wasn't anything left to upgrade. And yeah, in this, this is all very claymation looking, which I really, really liked. You could turn that off if you wanted to, but why the hell would you? That's like one of the coolest things about this game is the claymation.
The stop motion look.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest. I'm worried about playing it with that effect on because it, as stylish as it is, it just kind of like hurt my brain.
Oh, well, there is an option to turn that off. So
that's good that they at least thought to be able to disable that. Is it true that cutscenes are not affected, though?
Yes. Cutscenes are not affected. It is still stop motion. And I really liked it, but I like Kubo and the Two Strings and Caroline and movies like that. So, of course... Yeah. This was like right up my alley. This was square right in the middle of it. So,
I mean, it looks incredible. All the screenshots and videos I've seen of this look amazing. I personally haven't been able to fire it up yet.
You really need to. It is.
I got to put my Game Pass to use.
Yes, yes, you do. I did.
Tell us more about it.
Okay. In this, you end up. As I said, you're chasing after your mom, and you end up figuring out these magical abilities that you don't fully understand, and you end up meeting a giant talking catfish, and they become your companion for this little journey. He helps explain some of your abilities and sends you to go beat the shit out of some monsters, because there are some boss battles in this game. There's four, maybe five. I only remember four off the top of my head. And three of them are like serious boss battles. Like they have health bars and you need to actually beat the shit out of them. One of them is more of a dodge their attacks as you continue through a platforming area and then it ends. But there are achievements tied with beating these bosses. One for beating them and one for beating them without getting injured.
Oh no.
At all.
Oh no.
You have no idea how many fucking hours. Probably about a quarter of my playtime was just me refreshing, reloading, trying to do that for each one of the bosses over and over and over.
Oh man.
I got them all though.
Sounds rough.
The first fight is honestly the hardest one. After that, I found them to be significantly easier. If you're going in completely blind and you don't have everything upgraded to what it can be upgraded to by the time you meet a boss, it is going to be a hard as hell time, I think. But as long as you've, there are already walkthroughs with all the collectibles. If you're collecting all the collectibles, the boss fights aren't particularly all that bad, honestly, because most of them can be beat within just all of them have phases. Each one of them has three phases, and things change up a little bit between each phase, but not a lot. And it for like the first fight, I think it took like a handful. Yeah, she's an arachnid. Yeah, that is Huggin' Molly is who that character is on the screen. For those of you who aren't watching it, maybe you should start watching it. but all of the bosses have really interesting names, like Two-Toed Tom is the very first one. It's a giant alligator, and he is by far the hardest one to beat without getting hit, because he does a lot of very quick lunging attacks that hit me so many times. That boss made me mad. I probably played that 60-ish times trying to get no-hit run on that. Oh, that took so many hours. and then there's someone else, Huggin' Molly, which is the head that's on the screen. She's the third boss. She wasn't too bad, actually. And then there's also a giant owl or phoenix thing. I'm not exactly sure what he's supposed to be. I don't actually remember his name. But yeah, he's the second one. And the third one's like this mermaid-styled individual, I think, is the fourth one. So, yeah. You're going around really just beating these people and helping whoever you can by actually beating these people. Like, you're saving a church, more or less, and letting people get around by killing Two-Toed Tom, for instance. So yeah, it's a really good, fun game. However, there is a pretty significant amount of talk about child abuse in the game, and neglect and stuff. So it is kind of a downer, and the reason for that is your character's mom is a social worker, and they live in a poor southern town, and therefore she sees her fair share, and you end up seeing memories of the mom and lots of the stuff that you hear about, because you talk to some other characters and it's always about, oh, bad lives, because that's kind of the concept of this game, is all of that. All of the monsters and stuff exist because it's the negative emotions of people that have clumped together and created it, because all these bad things are created when people are miserable and then die. And the way you fix it is by weaving those into the tapestry to repair them and allow them to go on their way. But to do that, to get the patterns for it, you actually end up witnessing a whole lot of the problems. So you end up seeing all of their pasts, and none of their pasts are particularly happy, or else they wouldn't have been changed into crazy, monstrous-y things. So, hence when I started this, I said it's really a downer. That's because, this isn't just moments of downers. The whole game is based around being kind of depressing. And fixing the bad stuff, but knowing that no matter how much you fix, it's still gonna be bad. Because you even see the past of some other Weavers, because that's a whole clan of people, basically. It just kind of goes down throughout history. Someone is born with the powers, and eventually they die, and someone else has the powers. And one of them actually leaves you a whole bunch of written notes that you find throughout the game, and one of them's like, yeah, you know, life sucks, and doing this job is going to be really hard on you, and it's going to add up over time. And when you finally decide to quit, just leave notes for the next person so they have someone who's gone through this that they can see the notes of and rely on.
Bree, tell us a little bit about your time with it.
So my quick notes about the game are that the art is gorgeous. I loved the stop motion animation vibe in the cutscenes. The gameplay action is fun. I liked that Hazel was dirty throughout the game. Like, there's no pristine, like, this game is gritty. And I like that, like, gritty in a like appropriate way to what's going on in the context.
Not gritty as in Jacob's icon gritty.
Right, right. The music
that's grody. There's a difference.
No, his
stormy
Discord icon ahead. Is literally gritty.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, no. But yeah, the music was dark and stormy and full of the mists of the southern swamps. Get it right. And those things make this game feel worth my time. I also wanted to talk about the premium edition. It comes with a Digital's Extra app. Featuring a music playlist with the game soundtrack, songs, and jams. It has a making-of documentary, live-action music videos inspired by the world of South of Midnight. It comes with an art book with concept and character art and info separated by the chapters, just like in the game. And an original comic story about Hazel set in the world of South of Midnight. And it's a really nice package, well worth the price.
Very cool. Well, let us talk about the price on this package. Aki, you say it is very depressing, but is it worth it? Comes in at $39.99. What are your thoughts?
I really like it. Because it's such a downer, I don't know how many other people are going to be really for it, but Bree has mentioned to me elsewhere that a lot of people have seemingly liked this, so that's great. I totally think it's worth it. I thought it was a really fun game. I thought the storytelling, how poignant it was, I thought was amazing. So yeah, I'm 100% for it. I think, honestly, I'm kind of jealous that she has the premium stuff. So I would suggest getting the premium edition. I don't know how much more that costs, but I'd go for that. I wouldn't skimp on this.
The premium edition. Upgrade clocks in at $10, but if you have Game Pass, it's $9. Bree, what do you think?
I would say definitely go for that if you didn't get the premium edition to begin with, like get the upgrade. Still worth it. If you like the game, I think you'll love the extras. I really enjoyed just being able to listen to the music by itself while I was working on stuff in the house. So that was great.
I just remembered something.
What?
All of the bosses have their own music.
Yes.
And they're really great unless you're doing what I was doing and wouldn't move on with the game until you beat it without dying and therefore listen to the same song like for over an hour straight. But
good thing it's a good soundtrack, for the bosses, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I absolutely love the boss sounds, the songs for all the bosses. They're so good. Like in the two-toed Tom fight, the song was literally about him. It was amazing. I love it.
Yeah, they have a music video for him, I think, as well.
All right,
I need to see this.
Let's move on. Next game to talk about is Pocket Bravery, developed by Stratera, I don't know. Studio, published by P-Cube, I know that one. Released April 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $19.99. Inspired by classic fighting games from the 90s, such as Street Fighter, Fatal Fury, and The King of Fighters, Pocket Bravery channels the Neo Geo Pocket aesthetic, or a modern fighting game with a retro twist. Jacob, tell us about Pocket Bravery.
Pocket Bravery is by far the most Brazilian game of all time. I actually don't know what that means, but if you go up and look at like people's reviews for this game, everyone's like, this is the best Brazilian game. Okay. Apparently this is like the national game of Brazil. It took over soccer or something. Okay, cool. So Pocket Bravery is, as I said, it's a retro pixel fighter. That's definitely inspired by like mid early 90s fighting games, specifically like Street Fighter 2 and the King of Fighters series, but it has more of that chibi aesthetic that what was it called? Pocket Fighters?
Yeah.
I think that
Super SMK Pocket stuff. Fighter.
Yeah. So it very much has that kind of look. If you never messed with that kind of stuff, then think of like the Super Gem Fighter crap that Capcom released with the Street Fighter characters. I forget what the heck it was called. Anyway.
Super Puzzle Fighter.
There we go. Whatever. Anyway.
You're bad at this. So,
yes, I'm aware I'm bad at this. Thank you. Anyway. So one of the things that's kind of cool about this game is that there is an insanely thorough tutorial that the game gives you, and I could see how some people would be like, this takes way too long, there's too much text, all this kind of stuff. Personally, I appreciated it because it was very much along the lines of like, okay, this is how you do this move, we're gonna show you what it looks like to do it correctly, and then you do it. And then it also explains, like, this is why you would do it. Here's situations where this would be good. And then it actually, like, will put you in those kind of situations to use what you've been learning with. So that's really cool. And I personally like that feature. There's also a huge storyline that goes with it. And as far as I could tell, you end up seeing everyone in it. One way or another, but it explains, like, you know, where everyone's coming from, what their stories are, and granted, it's all standard fighting game backstories, like,
no.
I'm a young 17-year-old girl, I have to prove myself to the karate world through all the championships, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't know why I gave this kind of voice to a 17-year-old girl, but I did. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so one of the nice things that this game also does is that there are accessibility options for the controls. And so you can either go with the normal, you know, like either button mashing, or if you remember your Street Fighter 2 moves, like most of them are in here. But they also have it. So, you know, you could just press like one button and it'll take care of like certain types of hits or guarding and stuff like that, and it's really helpful with that. So I was having a bunch of fun with it. I was having some problems pulling off some of the combos, but that was both a skill issue and a controller issue, because my one Xbox controller, the B button's getting sticky. But
GG.
Yeah, I know.
What it's have one you been playing?
With himself, clearly.
Well, yeah,
that's the roster. Tricky. Did you mention?
It's about like 10 or 12 characters. Like, it's standard for that time period, and everyone's like a little bit different. Like, you know, some have more power, some of them have like their special meter fills up faster. But the animation style is really cool. Like, everything's really fluid. It's pretty neat, and I was pretty impressed with it. I enjoy it, and I hope that they make more.
Nice. Does it seem like it would be capable of handling DLC characters? Or do you think
we might just see a
new game entirely?
I mean, this game itself has been out since, like, 2020. And so there already were DLC characters for it. I mean, I, so So it's not like I couldn't see extra stuff coming for this. But at that point, like, you know, with it being like a four-year-old game, I'd kind of figure that they'd make a sequel instead.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out. This one clocks in at $20. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is a really fun little game that for $20, like, it's good for beginners. It's good for people who are seasoned fighting game fans. And I think everyone's going to find a lot to like in it. So recommend it for $20.
Sounds good. Next game, Promise Mascot Agency, developed and published by Kaizen Gameworks, released April 10th, Xbox Series X and S, Switch, PS5, PC for $24.99. Explore a cursed Japanese town, recruit mascot friends, and come to the rescue when disaster strikes. Solve the mystery of your exile. Help a living finger work through her many anger issues. Turn Promise Mascot Agency into the best agency in Japan in this open-world narrative adventure. Bree, tell us about it.
Well, prepare yourselves. There's a lot to unpack here. It is an open-world, part management simulator, part crime drama narrative adventure. And if that sounds weird, it's because it is, but in the best way possible. This is by the creators of Paradise Killer, which was an absolute trip of a game, so I expected no less from this game. The game starts you off with some setup accessibility choices like fonts, including dyslexic. Oh yeah, tofu. All right. Sorry. It's intended to be played with a vintage camera filter to enhance the feel of the Showa era Japanese town, but you can disable that. I like to look at the accessibility and other settings in the beginning because I have to say, like, there's a ton of options from motion sickness to color correction, screen shake, control inversion, and more, and I'm very always nice. Pleased to see games taking time to consider all those things. The game auto-saves and allows for manual saves as well. And once you've gotten all through that, the start screen asks you to press any button to begin your redemption. Ooh. So first, we have to learn about the things going on in Japan's underworld. Anti-Yakuza laws are strangling the crime families, causing internal squabbles and territory disputes. And here we meet Michi, a top lieutenant known as the janitor. He carries a broom on his shoulder everywhere he goes. And we get sent on an important job, only to be ambushed by another crime family. And severely outnumbered, we end up losing the fight and the money we are protecting. Now we have to go back to the family in shame. And Michi takes the fall for his brother to save face for the family. He loses his pinky finger and gets banished to manage the last business the Nakamura Alliance doesn't know about, a mascot agency. And we need to turn it around and make enough money, send enough money back to save our family. So we're off to Kazumachi, the town of gods and demons who curse any male Yakuza who set foot there. But it's this or immediate death. So we must redeem ourselves and our family, but without our reputation, because as far as the world is concerned, we left town in a body bag. When we're introduced to new characters, we get a manga splash page title card with a little bio. Certain action sequences are also told in comic panels. This is fully voice acted in Japanese with English text as default. I think you have other languages for the text if you need to change that. You occasionally get some tonal choice points in the conversation, like dismissive versus annoyed. Not sure how much that changes the dialogue or the story. Back to the plot, though. We get to the town, and we find out that we have to start our agency out of a love hotel that rents by the hour. Because our mascot agency license was rescinded by the mayor because, well, someone screwed up. And, oh yeah, the hotel's broke, and the hits just keep on coming.
Hey, what kind of hotel was it?
A love hotel.
SML After Dark.
That's right. This is about a mascot agency, so let's talk about mascots. Mascots aren't people in costumes. They're living, breathing creatures who need our help. They live alongside humans and have their own feelings, dreams, questionable biology, and existential fears. Some of them have abilities or supernatural powers, like Pinky, a failed mascot and violence lover that looks like a large, walking, severed pinky finger, who runs the front desk of our hotel and is our first companion. Her mother was a fairy marshmallow, and her dad is Don Key, the right thumb of the crime family that we're a part of. And she should never host birthday parties for kids. Her dark thoughts about burying bodies come right out of her mouth as fast as her knife moves to someone's throat. There are 20 mascots to collect and love, like Kofun, who loves to goth it up at the cemetery, is really smart and interested in history. Neko Roll, Salary Nyan, Tororo. Tororo is covered in sticky yam from cooking classes with the elderly and loves hardcore adult video. There's Ichigo Love, who is like a pink strawberry cat who says the gods built like a tank and made them sweet and drizzled in chocolate. There's a wide variety of stuff going on there. And of course, you see on the screen Tofu, who never stops crying. Pinky acts as our secretary and our social media manager to get new fans for the business and raise our fame level in the Mascot Ranking Association. We now need to manage our agency, recruit mascots, find jobs, assign staff, manage incidents that the mascots get into, and then we need to upgrade and clean the agency. You can rest in the building, style your mascot, and more inside the building. The town is cursed, has a corrupt mayor, though, so the mascots we're going to find aren't exactly going to be top tier, like Tofu, the tear-stained, lightly worn block of soft tofu who can never stop crying. We take in the mascots, give them a room, assign them to jobs, and give them a percentage of payout as their wage. By the way, we lost 12 billion yen, so this is going to take a while. That's like $85 million.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. The better the job goes, the more money for everyone, so match your mascots with your job wisely. We also get Shiori, a human, as our mascot job manager. She's got a bit of a temper, scares the crap out of people. She tried to cook tofu in a huge pot of soup once. She's metal as hell. She also helps with those mascot incidents I mentioned, like getting stuck indoors, fighting a child, vehicular homicide, you know, normal stuff. Because she's a registered mascot helper hero. We need to find more heroes to help too, because different heroes help in different ways. We collect hero cards like Captain Sign, Japan's only road sign superhero, or Mama-san, a bar owner with a massive latex collection, or Scrumpet and Loaf, the cat siblings. And you can upgrade your cards, too. Managing the mascots means things like adjusting their wages, giving performance reviews and time off. We're employee-centric, so we like to make them interested in working for us. Once you offer the mascot extra perks, you can't take them away, so be careful with your offers. You get a little negotiation screen with a meter that shows how excited they are about your offer as you click the options. Once you have mascots, you can take jobs like store openings and birthday parties. Some jobs may require a certain fame level first. There's always something to improve upon in this game. Thankfully, job offers stick around. In fact, there's very little urgency to this game. It didn't feel like there was a point of no return. You get story quests and management quests or take jobs and go explore, and it felt like you could really do it at your own pace. If you just want to drive around smashing signs for a while, go for it. Eventually, Pinku will remind you to send out some mascots on jobs, and you can get back to that part of the game. And if you need help with the game, there is an Ask Pinky button you can press for helpful tips on where to find jobs and mascots and more. Oh yeah. The jobs are live streamed, so you can see when they have trouble, like a mini game, when you send like a hero to help. So our first one is Tofu versus the normal size door. Tofu just can't fit through the door, and it's, you know, tragic, and there's everybody watching. And so you play your hero cards like actions versus the challenge. The whole thing is really surreal.
That's cool.
I mentioned the game is open world. Once you get through the intro story, the basics of restarting the agency stuff, you get free roam of the town in your trusty truck. You don't walk around, you use the truck everywhere you go. You can boost and jump in your truck and drift for fun and to get to different places. You can find all kinds of things around the town, like upgrades, equipment, jobs, mascots. You can really clean up the town, which is full of trash. You have a HUD and a map marker to help you find your way around. Your default is driving in third person, but you can change that to first if you want. You can gain fans by smashing signs of the mayor because he's a corrupt piece of shit. You can cleanse shrines that give you bonuses and buffs to things like popularity. You can collect actual trash because you're the janitor after all. You got to clean up this town. And once you upgrade your truck, you can also get fast travel. You can mod the truck to go faster, launch projectiles, float on water, glide in the air. You find items around the town like random money, video game machines you can hand off to other characters to gain their favor. There's even stamps to collect around town. I'm almost done here, I swear. There's a lot. You're going to need to balance your money well, because eventually you have to send money back home to the family. You don't need to pay the full 12 billion yen back, just enough to send enough to keep the matriarch protected. And then another goal in the game is to get Pinky elected mayor instead of the corrupt piece of shit. This game is full of quirky characters besides the mascots. The people you meet for jobs, the citizens of the town are all full of story and life, and I enjoyed meeting all of them. And as the story progresses, you find out more about what really happened with the crime family ambush and more. The art is a mix of like artistic realism with watercolor wash for the town and cel shading on objects with a manga vibe to all the characters. The music is very Japanese elevator or grocery store music, but mixed with a good beat. It has tropical vibe to it at times. There's other music appropriate to the context, like dark jazzy music for the Yakuza Alliance head office. There's a peppy overworld theme. And as you go around collecting things, you can pick up new music tracks.
Nice. I like when games
I know do I've that. Been... Yeah, I know I've been really sick this week, but I assure you this game is as much a fever dream as it sounds, and I love it, and I think you will too. If you like Yakuza vibes, manga, some management, this is going to be a win for you, and if you're on the fence about it after hearing about all this, and you're at least curious, the price is already great to me.
All right, well, that price is $24.99. Official verdict?
I would say the start of the game is somewhat on rails. Sometimes the management can feel a little repetitive unless you're out there exploring and doing side quests. I had way more fun with the lore of this than I thought I would. This is a buy it for me.
All right. Next up, Dagger Froggy, developed by Sudoku and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft. Released April 2nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. The hero is a frog? That's right. In top-down survival action game Dagger Froggy, you'll take the role of a plucky pixel art amphibian as you'll fend off waves of creatures looking to make you their prey. From grassy lawns to spooky cemeteries to the desert and more, you'll have to clear bodies from a variety of stages while collecting coins from those you slay. Purchase upgrades for your frog. Jacob, what's Dagger Froggy?
So, if you've ever played any of those survivors kind of games, and you were wishing that you could be a frog as the hero all the time and nothing else but a frog, well, let me tell you, Dagger Froggy might be the game for you. So you have this little frog guy that you move, you know, around your little arena area, which thankfully is just a simple, you know, it's a simple rectangle. You can obviously choose out different levels as you get higher and higher. You know, so like there's also like a desert and a graveyard. There's also a final boss battle, which I have yet to beat, which I was a little surprised by. But yeah, the levels, really all that does is just like it decides what enemies spawn, you know, differently instead of like in the forest one. But what's different about this is that you can only fire in four directions, up, down, left, and right, and you have to press separate buttons for those. So you're moving around with, you know, the joystick, but you have to press like A, X, Y, and B in that order for down, left, up, and right. Which makes for an interesting and sometimes occasionally difficult mechanic, in my opinion, it does make things exciting. And then, of course, as you kill enemies, you level up, you can collect extra health, you can collect coins, and after you've died, because eventually you will, you go back to the shop, reinvest in different upgrades, some of them permanent, some of them are just upgrades for certain things, and you could also unlock different characters by getting certain levels while holding some items. So like, let's say you have the power where it fires two shots diagonally every like 5 seconds or something like that. If you get that up to level 6, along with like the hearts, then you unlock a new character. And so I thought that was kind of cool. Which, I mean, it does kind of take a note from Vampire Survivors, so whatever. But, my only gripe with that is that the icons that they use are way too damn small. And I ended up having to use True Achievements to tell me which icons I was supposed to be like looking out for, because my old ass, like, just like, I couldn't see it. And so it's just like, it's the one that is a dagger pointing upwards and the big yellow blob. Okay. All right. I got it. Got it. Got it. So I had to do that a few times, but other than that, I've been having a blast with it. It's a nice little $5 game. And it doesn't wear out its welcome. Like, frustrating to start, like all of this genre is, but it keeps the extra stuff coming quick enough that you want to stick with it. So I liked it.
All right. $5. Is it worth picking up?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sounds good. Next game, Elfazer, developed and published by Aphil Games, released April 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Windows Store, PS4, PS5, $4.99 each. Elfazer throws you into a frozen world where every jump reshapes reality. In this 2D platformer with puzzle mechanics, platforms disappear and reappear with each jump, creating dynamic challenges at every move that would likely make me pull all my hair out if I wasn't already bald. Jacob, tell us about it.
I still have my hair, thankfully. But yeah,
for now.
So the game, yeah, for now with this. So the game is as you described. It's a puzzle platformer, and what happens is that every time you hit the jump button, you know, it phases things in and out. So like, you jump up, all of a sudden there's a wall in front of you. You jump again, the wall disappears, and you can just like walk past it. You do have to be mindful of not jumping while things are phasing. So that's kind of fun, but the game is, it is a pain in the ass. The thing is, it's not bad. It's just, it's frustrating, and you got to be patient with this. You have to be methodical, and it's a lot of sitting and waiting and figuring out patterns and stuff. And later on in the game, it ridiculously ramps up stuff. Like, so my favorite one, and by favorite I mean least favorite, was this mechanic where like you'd have these like ring of circles that were like flying around like a block,
that I
need to jump on. And so
I did play this earlier today. I
fall into the abyss of my gaping butt.
So
well, a quick shout out to Dopey for rating us. Welcome in, Raiders. We are chatting about the game Elfazer from Aphil Games, available now on Xbox and PlayStation for $5 per platform. Jacob, continue on. What is Elfazer?
So going back to this one thing, so all these orbs are flying around this one block, which of course does phase in and out as you jump. So you already have to be mindful of that, but one of the orbs is missing. And so you have to time your jump so you can fall through the little wheel of the orbs and land on the block without dying. And then of course, to get to the next thing, you have to wait till that hole appears again, hop out of the ring onto the next block, which hopefully you didn't mess up and it still materializes. yeah, you gotta have patience. You get
further in, there's like keys that you have to like collect and then unlock stuff and then go through all the jumping puzzles.
That's true. Yeah,
which is really good.
Yeah, you're gonna need them.
Yeah, although there are some achievements for getting through so many levels without checkpoints.
Ouch.
Yeah. I think you can repeat the same level over and over again, though. That seems to be like something that works in games like that. Nice. I ran into one problem. Okay, I'll take it. The music, which was actually pretty good, is it runs on a loop, but when the music changes tracks, it like stutters the game temporarily, and so if you're mid jump or something,
Ouch. Does that happen a lot, or is it?
Yeah, it happens a reasonable amount of times, enough to mention. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk price on this one. It is $5 per platform. It is on sale, at least on Xbox, for the next week or so for $3.99. Give us your thoughts.
I mean, I thought it was all right. If you're looking for like a cozy platformer, or even a simple platformer, this ain't it. But if you're looking for a big challenge, then there's plenty to find in here.
Yeah, I could give it a try. It.
Oh, we have a rare sighting on the stream right now. Bean is in the wild on camera. The cat that no one ever sees in this house.
Oh, hello, Bean.
He only comes out for me. And I can only pet her one-handed. If I try petting her two-handed, she will run. All right, next game, Secrets in Greed, developed by Borealis and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released April 9th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, $4.99. If Mother Nature spoke to you, would you listen and perhaps discover a power growing inside yourself? Jacob, you listen to anyone?
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, so Secrets of Green is a visual novel set. It's either like late 1800s, early 1900s, somewhere around there. Just as a content warning, this game does deal with depression, possibly suicide, but also being how women were considered hysterical and would get sometimes thrown into asylums. So the game does kind of deal with that. But you play as this woman who has been forced to go to the countryside by her father because you've been having too many fits of hysteria. And they think that the country air by yourself is going to get you some good. And granted, there is like a village near you, but you're pretty much just supposed to stay in your house. And there's a caregiver who visits daily. And you're just supposed to, you know, recover. Anyway, as you're walking along your garden, you find these notes scribbled on these leaves. And it seems as though they're from somebody, but you don't know who. And you have to make the decision. Are you going to explore and find out what this is about? Are you going to tell people what it's going to happen? And yeah, you have to deal with the outcomes of that. I can't really say that much more about it, otherwise I spoil it, because to be honest, this is a pretty short visual novel. I think you can actually get all the achievements in like about a half an hour, and that is not with like any general fuckery of the game. Yeah, it's a quick short story.
Is that actually reading it or just skipping everything?
Yes, I've been reading it.
All right. I know some people buy these and just put it on skip. They're like, Scotty. Hey, 30 seconds, 1,000.
Yeah, no. If you look, because if you look at how I've been on True Achievements, like you have the timestamps for all of my stuff. It's not like it's unlocking like bing, 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 bing.
I'm too lazy to look that up for you.
But anywho, the story short, I was intrigued by it. I wish that there was more meat to it, and the art and audio is okay. They use these video files for like the opening and closing credits of the game, also like some menu transition stuff, and I don't know that they ever cleaned them up for larger screen format. So they're like
real player quality.
Yeah, kind of. and also like at times they're like slow as hell too. So, it's nothing I'd ever, knock the game on, but it's just, a weird, nobody thought to clean this up. Okay. All right. Whatever.
I love remastered games that do that, and instead of, fix it, increasing the resolution somehow, they just, put it in a box 3 inches big in the middle of the screen.
I mean, I know some 90s games, they can't, that's all that they can do it for, because yeah. That's all that survives.
Postage stamp-sized video files.
Yeah.
Secrets and Greed. $5.
No, it's green.
Oh, green. Oh, shit. Secrets in Green.
Because you're dealing with, plants in your garden.
I don't know why I have that typo on there. I'm horrible. I'm bad at my job. What are you going to do? It's a $5 game on sale for the next week and a half for $4. Give us your thoughts.
Honestly, if you like visual novels, then I thought it was a good, quick story. I can't really fault anything for it. And if you're an achievement hunter, as I said, you can get all the achievements pretty quick and actually read the story, too. So, yeah, I'd recommend it.
Cool. All right, next up, Hook Complete Edition, developed by Macy Targoni, published by Ultimate Games, released April 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Switch for $3.99, a minimalist puzzle game where your goal is to remove all the hooks from the board using intuitive mechanics. No timers, no scores, just pure stress-free gameplay, complemented by a calming ambient soundtrack. If this sounds interesting to you, we are doing a giveaway of this game, courtesy of Ultimate Games. You already gave one copy away to Jordan. You could win one as well by the end of the show. Jacob, what is Hook Complete Edition?
So, directed by Steven Spielberg, this movie...
God damn it.
What? Am I not supposed to be reviewing the movie Hook?
The game Hook.
Oh, well, in that one, he plays Peter Pan, and...
You're a dingus.
Yay! All right, so Hook
Thank
is
you, a Overmask, for the 2-month sub. Great timing on that, yay. Appreciate you being here. Enjoy the kitty cats. Enjoy the emotes. Thanks for your support. Jacob, tell us, what is Hook Complete Edition?
So Hook is a puzzle game, and it is... So pretty much all those mobile game ads where it's just how are you going to pull all these different lines and collect all the gold but also kill the dragon, and there's water and lava involved for some reason, those kind of ads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So these puzzles are kind of like that, except without the cringy crappy art that gets used for that. And so with it, you are pulling these lines through what look to be portals. I'm not really quite sure. But you're pulling these lines and you have to carefully deduce whether, some of the sticks are on top of other ones or underneath ones. Or if you pull one, is it curved in such a way that it'll be prevented from, being pulled any further. And then so at that point you'll have to restart the level. But honestly, it's a pretty chill puzzle game. Eventually it does move into doing some tile swapping or tile movements. And so you'll have kind of moving electrical currents, I guess would be the easiest way to describe it. And so you have to make it so when you push this button, the power will remove this certain line instead of a different one. You just keep going through it and you get an achievement for every single puzzle that you do. And it's chill and nice. And there's no real expectations on you.
Does it make sense when you first play it? Because I look at the store page and I look at the screenshots and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's not like there's a story to it.
I just meant the gameplay, because on the surface it looks very complicated.
Yeah. Then, I mean, it does get more complicated as you play through, but the game does kind of walk you through everything.
You know what else gets more complicated as you go through? Life, Jacob.
Truth.
This is Hook 1 and Hook 2 together in one package for $4.
Kind of guy.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely a buy it. It's really chill. I enjoyed it. I recommend it.
All right, Jacob, that's it for you. I said you would get you out of here quick, so get out of here.
Woo! Bye, everyone.
Final words?
Have a good night.
I just said bye, everyone.
I usually ask for final words.
No, I don't have any final words. No, I'm just bye, everyone. Good night, GoldenEye.
Next game to talk about, Suika and Dragons, developed and published by Synergy Circle Games. Released April 9th, Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows Store, $4.99 each. The moment of destiny has arrived, the dragon eggs are ready to hatch. The Reverend Elder Dragon, it's your sacred duty to guide these young hatchlings, ensuring they grow, evolve, and rise to become majestic, unstoppable forces of nature. You lead them to greatness, forging a new era of dragonkind. Bree, what is this?
That description was totally beautiful and way more than is actually in the game. this is a Suika game, meaning you drop balls or other objects to combine them into bigger objects. It's a kind of strategy game or puzzle, strategy puzzle game you might have seen before. I also talked about recently with Suikaiju, also by Synergy Circle Games. And this is very similar. You unlock different dragons like forest, mountain, and lake dragons as you gain more score on the board, each of which is larger than the one before. This game also has three levels to play through, one for each kind of dragon you're trying to evolve through the egg cores. And they each have different backgrounds and color schemes. So you have like blue cores for the lake dragon and green for the forest and like red for the mountain stuff, because there's like lava. To succeed at the game, you have to make combos of cores and rack up points, and if you run out of space at the top of the board, the game's over. And the cores, like I said, they get when you match, like it starts out small, like you have a little, you know, a little seed, and you match two seeds together and you get an acorn, and then you match two acorns together and you get a melon-sized ball, and then you get, you know, they just get bigger and bigger and bigger. So the further you go in the game, the harder it is to make combos. But yeah, this is a simple, relaxing game. The music sounded awfully familiar, like maybe the same music from Suikaiju. But overall, I had fun with this one.
$5, your thoughts?
Yeah, go for it.
Cool. Next up, The Killing Antidote, developed and published by Metal Star Studio, released back in October on Steam Early Access for $29.99. This is a TPS game, shooting, firing, or fighting, dress-up, puzzle-solving, and more. In the future, a special germ causes humans to be constantly infected and mutated. The protagonist, Jody, is a brave journalist who goes on her way to find the legendary antidote and is in danger. Aki, what's The Killing Antidote?
Okay, this is a Resident Evil-styled game where you play as this very attractive young woman who, I think it's her sister or something, went missing, basically, inside this area that has now been zoned off and no one's allowed into it, and it's all mysterious because no one knows what's going on, because no radio waves or anything are allowed in and out. It's all dark. So, being the ever diligent reporter that she is, she decides to sneak into this place. And lo and behold, she finds zombies. Zombies galore! Zombies that want to eat her face. That should really teach her a fucking lesson. And you find some weapons, and you kick the shit out of zombies, and it's great. This is currently only at like a 0.5.2 or something release, so it's still pretty early access. It's going to be a while before this gets a full release. And basically you go around, you kill the shit out of zombies, you find clothing item pieces that you have in your inventory, and until you get basically to a safe room, you can lose it. You actually have to get it to a safe room, and then in there there's a box or a mirror that you can interact with, and that will save that item permanently. So in another playthrough, you have access to it again, which is really nice. So you can change up your look however you want. There are plenty of looks that your character has. There's a fuck ton of Steam mods for this game. And I'm not just bringing that up to just to chat about it, because I don't usually bring it up, but the actual devs have put mods for the game up as well. And nice. So there's like giant packs of like, oh, here's a bunch of new hairstyles, here's more makeup, more shoes, more clothes, whatever. None of them are.
Is that why, despite the game being fairly short in length, you have like 15 hours in it? Have you been dressing up this whole time?
Maybe a little bit. Not a lot of
bit, just a little bit. Are you dressing up right now on the show?
No, I'm not. I'm building Gunpla on the show, actually. Oh, but no, so while you're playing through the levels, you'll occasionally find outfit pieces. And even lots of the mods will, some of them will just add stuff into your inventory. Others will add the little boxes throughout the levels so you can find the pieces. And I really like those. There's some very sexy outfits too, so I approve. But yeah, currently there's two levels that you can access. And I don't think the second level's actually finished yet.
I think January update said it was Chapter 2, Section 1.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, because it is very short. I think Chapter 2 took me, like, 2 or 3 hours to finish. Chapter 1 took me, like, 10. It is a nice, sizable fucker. It even has, like, hidden areas that you can find that give you, like, more ammunition and usually a clothing item piece as well. So that's really nice. You can also find these chests around that give you just a little bit of ammo. However, if you leave and come back to it, it'll give you more ammo, nice. Which is great. So you constantly have ammo, so you don't have to worry too much about being like a crack shot. You can only hold so much ammo on your person, though, so you kind of have to be able to kill things. But I found I was never out of ammo, because I was always nailing headshots, because again, I'm really familiar with third and first person shooters. So headshots will take out the zombies pretty quickly, unlike some games like the Resident Evil 2 remake, where it takes like 500 shots. No, this one, like, most zombies went down in like 2 shots to the head and they're gone. They're done. It's great. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. The achievements in this, if you're an achievement hunter and you actually care about Steam achievements, good luck. I've gotten one. Oh, and geez. That's it, out of, I think, like 18 or something, because none of them are for, hey, beat the level. No, they're all like, hey, shoot these pustules out of the air before they can hit you. Kill 10,000 zombies or whatever.
1,000 zombies, 2,000 headshots, clear the test grounds without damage, dress up 1,000 times.
Which is the one I have.
Kill 3 or more zombies with 1 bullet. That's a cool one.
Yeah.
Do not use the zombie brain smasher to complete the centralized control area. Kill 100 Weepers, complete the Weeper challenge with a revolver, get grabbed by zombies 300 times, complete the abandoned hangar without killing any enemies, throw a weapon to kill a zombie from 10 meters away, there you go, complete story mode without loading progress.
Yeah, no, I did not get that. I didn't even come close.
kill 2 zombies 100 times with 1 bullet. So 2 double shots, 100 times, or a double shot 100 times, destroy 100 venom chunks spewed by the squirters, stomped 500 zombies to death, and execute 1,000 zombies. That's a fun but hard achievement list.
Yeah, yeah. All of those actions are really fun, but chances of you actually doing half of them, not particularly high. Like, I did zero executions in my walkthrough because only a few weapons have them. I didn't even know they existed until I had already beaten the story mode. And I was looking through the achievements and they were like, oh yeah, you should be working on this one immediately because just doing this is going to be boring. And I was like, I didn't even know you could do that.
Oh, so, man. Yeah.
There are a couple modes to this game as well. There is the story mode, which has all of chapter one, the first section of chapter two. But there's also, like it said, the hangar and in training mode and challenge mode. Yeah, they're all, you unlock those actually by playing through the story mode. You find little toys basically around that your character grabs and collects, and those unlock scenes are what they're called, and they're all these little challenges. And yeah, I haven't touched any of those because it took me so long to play through just the story mode that I didn't have time to fiddle with those yet.
Let's talk price on this thing. It's an early access. They plan to be in early access for about 1 to 2 years. It is currently $30. It will go up after early access ends, but there is a free demo. What should people do?
I say definitely get the free demo. Check it out. If you like it, buy it now. Buy it while it's cheap, because this group is definitely going to... I have all the faith in the world that this group is actually going to finish this game. This is not going to be one of those games that, oh, they put it on early access, they do a handful of updates for a year, and then nothing ever happens again. I don't think this group's going to do that. So I think play the demo. If you like it, get the game like ASAP. This was an amazingly fun game. I am thoroughly enjoying my time with this, and I'm going to continue to be playing it because I want to get all the achievements in it because it is fun.
Awesome. All right, next up, Project 13 Night Watch, developed by Dry Bread, published by Dolores Entertainment. Released April 4th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $5.99. An intense and immersive game experience where you take on the role of an observer tasked with guarding the mother base of Project 13 organization. Your mission is clear: prevent any observer prisoner, each potentially containing a dangerous anomaly, from infiltrating the headquarters. Equipped with a high-tech binocular, your keen observation skills are the key to success. Bree, what is Project 13 Night Watch?
So this is part of a series of Project 13 games, which are observation-based spot the anomaly games. Normally you walk through some kind of hallway and see if anything looks different from your first run. In these games, you need to pay attention to a lot of potential details. Sometimes things are obvious, like the whole place turning green. Other times it's small and hidden painting on the wall. And you need to take the role of a prisoner tasked with properly identifying anomalies 13 times before you're free to go. This game is a little different, though. Now you're an observer tasked with watching the prisoners in a yard at night to prevent any anomalies in the ranks from infiltrating the building. You look at the targets and shoot one of them if they look wrong, and the rest of the prisoners flee into the building. And if you get it right, your evac number increases. If you get it wrong, you let an anomaly in and have a chance of getting fired by getting shot yourself. The goal is to make 13 correct observations in a row to complete your job and thus the game. Like the previous games, there's really no hand-holding or instructions. You're just sort of thrown in. I found out the X button apparently signals to clear the area if you think there are no anomalies. Otherwise, you use your binoculars and search and target an anomaly. You use the bumpers to zoom and the right trigger to shoot while in binocular mode. This one felt challenging to figure out in comparison to the previous games in the series. The spotlights in the yard moving around made it challenging to see things consistently. It seemed like things I was sure had moved had not. This game was very dark. The number of mistakes you can make before getting shot yourself was a little rough. It's like 3. Not that it matters, but your counter goes back to 0 every time anyway if you make a mistake, regardless. I did not find this one as fun or rewarding as the previous games. I found it to be mostly confusing. But it was a nice twist on the anomaly genre that keeps it from getting, like, to be a stale asset swap situation. And I would say the price is good.
Yeah, it clocks in at $6. If you buy it in the next few days, I think 4 or 5 days left, it's $4.79. $6 officially. What's your verdict?
I'd give this one a try. It. If you liked the other games, you might like this one too.
Cool. All right, one last game to talk about tonight. The Black Within, developed by Walidzo, published by Dolores Entertainment, released April 11th on Xbox Series X and S and PS5 for $7.99. The Black Within is a single-player, first-person psychological horror game that takes players on a chilling journey into the depths of the human psyche. When selling her soul for fame and fortune, Lila Rose faces consequences of her actions. A tale where greed, fear, and change intertwine. Aki, what is The Black Within?
Okay, The Black Within is a walking sim style game with a little bit of puzzles. In this, you're told, hey, you're trying to sell your soul in order to gain fame as a musician. So your agent's like, hey, we can fix this. We can solve your problem. You just have to go to my house, finish this stuff, and then go do a ritual. Okay? It's up to you. You can do this. Have at it. And then you immediately head off to go to their house, expecting to meet with them to get it. You only to find that they aren't there. You have no idea where this asshole is. So you decide the ingenious thing to do is to break into his house and find that contract yourself, because you don't need no man. And yeah. So in the house, you have some puzzles to do. Namely, you need to find 3 fuses to open the garage door so you can get back out of that house. But while doing that, you're also finding different things in order to open up new rooms. Like, you need to find some keys. You need to eventually find an axe or hammer or something. I don't know. And then after this is done, you find a book that tells you basically what you need to do. You set it into a circle to start the ritual. And then you escape the area to go to the next area to complete the ritual, and it's also just a little bit of puzzles. It's each area is just one small area. There is not a lot of game here. It was over pretty quickly. I think it took me just a couple hours to 100% this game. It is very quick. So yeah.
Was it enjoyable?
It was fine. I didn't dislike playing it. It was just fine, though. It was not like, oh my god, so fun. It was okay, though.
All right, well, it's a $7.99 game. It is on sale for the next 2 weeks still for $6.39. Officially $8. What's your verdict?
That's cheap enough that, yeah, I think you can play it. If you're an achievement hunter, you're really going to like this. This isn't a particularly long game, so have at it.
Sounds good. All right, and with that, we're done. That is it for this episode. Thanks to you two for hanging out to the end. Thanks to Jacob for coming on, doing his thing as well.
Don't think this, Jacob.
This was a fun Saturday night show instead of our usual Thursday night, but things happen. Bree, how's that chicken nugget going?
So far so good. I'm on the third one. We'll Ooh. See if I get to all 5. I know.
Fucking ballsy tonight, huh?
I am being ballsy. I am being ballsy as hell.
Music to end the show. Apparently, while the 1UPs played at VGMCon tonight, they dedicated the legendary theme from Guitaru Man to me, and a buddy recorded it and sent me a video on Facebook. I'm just going to play their performance.
Nice. Badass.
So, live from tonight, the 1UPs.